Yeah, so, but God says, even though it's red, your clothing will be as bright white because of the righteousness of Christ. The children are dismissed. Thank you. The young heroes. Bear with me, if you will. I hope I'm praying that my voice holds out. As I have a cold, 'tis the season, right? We want to give thanks to God. And giving thanks, that's God's will for you. I know this because it's in the Bible. Anybody seen this picture before? Is this what we think of? 4 days from now, we're going to have Thanksgiving. And it's the biggest travel day of the year, right? The biggest travel time. Anybody leaving? Anybody having people come here? Okay. And then there's, what's the day after now that's called something? Black Friday. Why do they call it Black Friday? Because they use the ledger, the red for debit and black for credit. And so that's when they finally went into the black, into making profit. Now, Black Friday in some places of the world means another Friday. What's it mean? We call it Good Friday. Some people call it Sad Friday. It's something sad happened, but it actually was to our profit. Because Christ paid our debt on Black Friday. But now we're thinking of Thanksgiving and what we've been trained ever since I was a child. When you think of Thanksgiving, what comes to mind? A picture like this, right? Pilgrims and Indians, or Native Americans, okay? And that's why I'm wearing this, my Squanto Elvis outfit. Kind of a combination of things there. And they were friends, and they did have a harvest festival together because they were so thankful to God that those who were still alive were alive. And they had a big harvest. And so they had a 3-day celebration. And King Massasoit brought 90 of his Indians. And they had a 3-day party and ate up all their food. Actually, they had a hard winter that year as well. But no one died, thankfully. And even a ship came and dropped 35 more settlers. And so they had to share their food with 35 more settlers that first winter. But no one died the next year. And they had a harvest each year after that, and I'm sure thanking God. But it's time for a little Thanksgiving quiz. So, what happened on December 26, 1941? I know none of you were here. Okay. You didn't have to tell us. But do you remember what happened on December 26, 1941, having to do with Thanksgiving? What day is Thanksgiving every year? It's a Thursday. Which Thursday? The fourth Thursday. When was that decided? December 26, 1941. Why did they decide that? Was that their first Thanksgiving? No, they had many Thanksgivings beginning on that day, beginning with President Lincoln. But something happened 2 years before. It always was the last Thursday. Guess what happened in 1939? When was the last Thursday? November 30th, because there were 5 Thursdays. And they said, that's terrible for our businesses. They didn't go in the black. They didn't have enough time. And so Congress asked the president to declare it to be the fourth Thursday. He wanted it to be the second from last, but they finally convinced him, and he declared it on that day to be the fourth Thursday. If you remember, there are some very important things happening at that time in 1941, especially on December 7th, 1941. So he had other things on his mind besides this, but he did sign the bill and making it official. Okay, what happened 154 years ago today? You didn't know there was going to be math, right? So what year was that? Come on. Those of you who... What year was it? 1863. What do you think happened on November 19th, 1863? Thanksgiving? No. The week before Thanksgiving, a Thursday before Thanksgiving. What happened on that day? The Gettysburg Address, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes. What happened 397 years ago today? The pilgrims landed, or they didn't land, they saw the land. But it was November 9th. How can that be 397 years ago today if today's the 19th? How can November 9th be the 19th? What? We switched from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar, and so everything after 1758, you have to add 10 days. So today is the day they saw Plymouth Colony. They tried to go where they were sent. The Virginia Company was sending them to the northern part of Virginia. Guess what the northern part of Virginia was in the 1600s? New York. They tried to go to Hudson Bay, but a storm prevented them. They almost sunk the ship, so they came back and they stayed there. Here's our verses. And I think we can memorize at least two of these, right? They're five words, right? Okay. Let's say them all together. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's do it again. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I told you giving thanks was God's will for you, but it's not that alone. It's also rejoice and pray, these things. But it is God's word for, will for us. This is almost like the action steps from this verse out of Romans 8:28. For we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We know that this is true, and so since this is true, what are we supposed to do? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks to God for everything, or in everything, okay? Not for everything. Because not everything is good, just like this verse says. Is everything good? No, but God's at work in all things. Even the very, very bad things, God is at work. In fact, what's the worst event that happened in world history? The absolute worst thing. That's pretty good, but I'd say that's number two. The crucifixion of the sinless man by wicked hands. Well, yes, God planned it, and it is our salvation, but that was the most wicked thing that could possibly happen. Did God work that together for good? Yes. Had he even planned it from the foundation of the world? Yes. But God does that kind of things. And now the pilgrims understood that God is in control, God is sovereign. They should pray, but they understand that God lets bad things happen sometimes, and some of them are very bad. Okay. What are pilgrims? They did not call themselves pilgrims at first, although later William Bradford, in his book, he did refer to them as pilgrims, but they didn't really actually call themselves that. They called themselves saints or separatists. they left their own country in search of a land where they could live and raise their family before God as they understood them. They suffered much for what as they came to the new land in hope of religious and financial freedom. One man pointed out this. They came for religious freedom. Well, yes, but actually they found religious freedom somewhere. Where? In Holland. They found religious freedom in Holland, but they had no financial freedom. In fact, they had so much freedom religiously, they were losing their children. They said, no, we can't raise our children here. We need to have a place where we can take care of our families, and we have freedom to live. Anybody, can you read that? It's pretty hard to read. It's kind of small. This is the dedication of a book. Do you know what book it is? Okay, yes. To the most high and mighty Prince James, by the grace of God, King of Great Britain, and I can't read the rest, but... very good. and if you have an old King James Bible, it'll be in there, and it's cool. And to our most dread sovereign, and, you know, great be the grace of God, etc., when he gave it to... You know, he sent you as our star leading our country. It's very interesting. So King James was the king at the time, and he did not like the separatists. And so he chased them down. They fled to Holland, but they came to an agreement when they decided to be colonists under his kingdom. And he said, okay, I'll let you do that. So that's why they did actually leave from England. They were allowed back into England only to leave and become colonists in the New World. But they were convinced of this. There's a kingdom of God, that he's sovereign, that he leads and he provides, he allows suffering, and that his kingdom will last forever. So they wanted to live and make a kingdom on earth that allowed for freedom for people to follow the kingdom of God. Oh, I already said this. Sorry. So they fled from England to Holland. There was too little freedom there. There was persecution. But then when they got to Holland, there was too much freedom and permissiveness, so they decided to go to the New World. And they bought a ship called the Speedwell, and they rented a ship, a much bigger ship called the Mayflower, and their plan was they would all go there, and then the Mayflower would return, and they had used the Speedwell to go up and down the coast and for exploring and for fishing and things like that. But the Speedwell, well, it didn't speed very well. Going from just Holland to England, they had to fix it. It leaked so much. And then they set out, and it leaked so much they had to come back again. And then they set out a third time, it leaked. They got 300 miles, and they had to come back, and they said, this was not going to work. So they all had to get onto the Mayflower. They were crammed. There were 40 to 50 sailors plus 102 passengers. 40 of them, or 41, we're not real sure, were the separatists. The others, the separatists called strangers. They were just other English people, most of them Christian or nominally Christian, but they were not going for separatism. They were going for a new life in the new land. And so this is a familiar picture. On the left, what do we see? A storm, okay? And what's on the right? A printing press. And there was a storm so bad that one of the beams cracked, and they lifted it up with their printing press, and then they put new beams under it to hold it. So good for the crew that the pilgrims like to print their documents. Now, we have a famous document that comes out of their time. It's called the Mayflower Covenant or Compact. And I just hear some of the words from it. We covenant and combine ourselves together in the civil body politic to enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices, and it goes on, so that we can live together in fairness and justice. And so this became the first document of civil ordinance together. Now, here's a famous guy, Squanto, to Squantum. And he was kidnapped as a teenager tricked by some English. They took him back to England where he learned English. And then he stayed there a while. And another captain brought him back to return to his people. And they were going up and down. This is Captain John Smith, actually, brought and used him as a translator up and down the East Coast. And then another captain tricked him, kidnapped him again, took him to Spain and sold him as a slave. And so he was in Spain. Some Franciscan friars paid for his freedom. They taught him Christianity. He became a Christian, made his way to England. England brought him back. He returned 1 year before the pilgrims got there. And his tribe had been completely wiped out. There was no one living in his tribe anymore. They all died from a plague. And so he was a man without a country. He lived with a neighboring tribe. And because he could speak English, when the English arrived, they used him as a translator, the neighboring tribe. And that neighboring tribe was the Wampanoag tribe. Everybody, Wampanoag. The king or the chief was Massasoit. And they made peace. This is a picture of a peace treaty. And they made peace, and they had peace, I think, for 90 years. And this tribe was very large, and they could have easily wiped out the British, but they didn't. They helped one another. They did help one another. What did the Indians show the Europeans they'd never seen before? What crop? Corn. So they taught them how to plant corn. But the British also brought vegetables with them. What's one of the things they gave to them? I think potatoes. They had their own kind of potatoes, but the white potatoes. But tomatoes. And where did the British get tomatoes? Italy. And where did Italy get the tomatoes? China. See how it goes? It's cool. So there's all around the world. So we're going to have all these things to eat for Thanksgiving, right? And the Indians showed them how, and Squanto especially showed them how to plant corn in hills. And then, as you know, like they would use fish as fertilizer, at least the heads of the fish, in each hill of corn. And so they did. They had good cooperation. It's not true of many of the other plantations, but they had good cooperation with this one particular tribe. And they celebrated a harvest celebration together, probably not in November. They didn't record what date it was, but they had a harvest celebration. Now, when was the first November Thanksgiving? Oh, I just showed you. Okay. George Washington declared on October 3rd, he said, next month, the last Thursday in the month, November 26th, we want a national day of Thanksgiving. And did they remember? Was it all about the pilgrims and the Indians? No. They mentioned them because this is where the idea started. The idea was thanking God for this nation in which there's freedom to worship God. Freedom to have your own property. Freedom to be free from excessive government. And that's what they thank God for. This was called for by a congressman from New Jersey. And he said, based on our new nation and our new constitution, let's gather as a nation and give thanks. Not gather, but in all around the nation, gather and give thanks to God for this new nation and the constitution. Here's something that he said in that proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, and to be grateful for his benefits, and to humbly implore his protection and favor. Does that sound like a president? It was our first president. Now, here's a question we often ask our ESL students. Some holidays are religious. You know, the etymology of the word holiday is holy day. So some of our holidays are religious, but some are not. Some are just national, you know, cultural. civil. So was this day originally civil or religious? Or both? And here is the president called by the Congress to proclaim a day of thanking God. And so it's a civil holiday for thanking God. There were many days when presidents asked for prayer, sometimes fasting, especially during war. Here's Lincoln calling for his proclamation for a day of Thanksgiving. Interestingly enough, he wrote the proclamation on October 3rd, the same day that George Washington wrote his proclamation, and he made it for the same day, November 26th. And this is what he said. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and voice by the whole American people. So he did that on October 3rd, 1863, exactly 74 years after President Washington did the first one. And then every year after this, he proclaimed, of course, he only lived 2 years after this, and then other presidents did all the way up until Congress made it official in what year? 1941. Thank you. Now, this is not a picture from that. What is this a picture from? Some of you know. Gettysburg. Do you know what day the Gettysburg Address was? November 19th. No, the Civil War had a year and a half to go. This is on this day, November 19th, is the Gettysburg Address. So, so do the math. 1863, 154 years. Some of you memorized this. I'll give you a hint. 4 score and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty, dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. And do you remember the rest? We are now engaged in a great civil war. We are met on a great battlefield of that war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We've come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who gave their lives that that nation might live. It's altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far more than our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. This was the biggest battle of the Civil War. The North brought anywhere like 50,000 and the South brought 40,000 men. No, I'm wrong. That's the wounded. Okay. The North brought 85,000 and the South brought 75,000 men. 7,100 were killed, and there were all these casualties and missing afterward. So it was the biggest battle of the time. He said, what they did here, for it is us the living rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus so far nobly advanced. It's rather for us to be dedicated to the great task remaining before us that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom and that the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. November 19th, 19, or 1863. A week later was Thanksgiving that he had called back in October. There. So Thanksgiving really isn't about the Pilgrims and the Indians. It was what they were about. Why did they come here? For a new nation, that they could have liberty, that they could have freedom of religion, that they could have freedom to live and not be harmed by neighbors or by the government. That's what it's always been about. And yet we've seemed to have, we think, oh, and who did they thank? One another? They thanked God. And they also realized we're not just thanking God, we have to ask God to keep helping us. They were thankful to God, they rejoiced, and they prayed, and they gave thanks. That's what we're supposed to do. So America could be lost, and he said that the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. We need to be dedicated to that. It could be lost. And certainly the kingdom of God is bigger than America and will last when America falls. But we should be committed to the same purpose, that is, living out the kingdom principles on earth, and that's what we should rededicate ourselves to. But the kingdom of God is what's going to last. Can you go to the next slide, please? Because God is sovereign, he leads and provides, he does allow suffering, and his kingdom will last forever. We know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are called to his purpose. And because of this, what should we do? We should rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We have freedom of religion here, and that's good. The freedom, we're told by Paul in Galatians, is not to indulge ourselves, indulge our flesh, but is in love serve one another. And so let's use the freedom and the opportunities that we have here in advancing the kingdom of God, living out his kingdom on earth, showing people what it's like to follow Jesus, showing the people that we see day to day, our family, our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors, your relatives, showing them that God is real because he's real in our lives, telling them the gospel, using opportunities like Thanksgiving to do that, or Christmas, or whatever there is, reminding that some people face death just to come to a place where they could have religious freedom. And so if we have religious freedom, shouldn't we take it seriously and use the freedom to worship God and our prosperity to advance his kingdom? Yes, we should. That's what we should get. That should be the message, because that's the purpose the Pilgrims had and the early framers of the Constitution and the people, well, President Lincoln and people who thought like that. This nation doesn't just exist for itself. We really need to exist for God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you that we have freedom here and that, yes, it was paid for and made possible by many people who struggled hard, who purposed in their hearts, and many who died to make that freedom possible. Help us to live our lives for your kingdom using the freedoms that we have and the all that you've given us, all the provisions that you have given us to advance your kingdom. And may America exist to advance the kingdom of God, especially those who are your children. And help us, Lord, to remember to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in all things give you thanks, for this is your will for us. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.